Mr. George Pratt, Rail 2, we'd got to the point where you were with some of the unit, but the unit wasn't in as a fighting formation in Argos Bay, Greece.
Argos Bay.
And how long, we were asking, you said you were living almost rough there, being fed by Greeks. How long were you there for?
I should think about a week or 10 days. And then suddenly we were told at night time to go down the cliffs and we'd be picked up by Greek fishing boats. Nobody must talk or cough or smoke. Absolute silence. And we got to the beaches. It was still dark and we got onto these small fishing boats. Took about 30 people. We had our rifles and that's about all. And we were taken out to sea and either accidentally or otherwise we were picked up by a New Zealand destroyer, which took us to Suda Bay in Crete.
And that's where you disembarked?
We disembarked in Suda Bay.
Now, did you know what was happening at all?
Nothing at all. Nobody told us where we were, what was happening, or nobody ever did in those days.
And what happened when you landed at Suda Bay? What was your impression of what was going on around you?
Well, all we had was our rifles. And the first thing, we went to a little camp and we were given a housewife. A housewife is a needle and cotton in a case. So we now had a blanket, a housewife and a rifle. And that was all we had.
And how many from your unit were there? Or were you mixed units?
There's quite a mixture there. And they decided we were at the wrong end of the island for what was wanted. And we'd have to walk or march about 100 miles to Arakilan. After the first day, it was obviously decided that we'd never get there. The roads and tracks were so rough. And we were taken back to Suda Bay and put on another destroyer, which took us to Heraklion on the east end of the island. We landed in the harbour and it was between the harbour and the aerodrome. We dug slip trenches and at night time submarines used to come in and unload tons of 303 ammunition, tracer ammunition, for the rifles. There was nothing else at Heraklion. There were no guns, there were no lorries, there were no wirelesses, there were no telephones, nothing, absolutely nothing.
So these Germans were unloading ammunition?
No, the British.
The British, sorry.
Were unloading ammunition, all for rifles, which fortunately was tracer.
I misunderstood. There are also the Germans seem to have done some reconnaissances. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Germans used to come over and land in the harbour in three men flying boats. They'd come ashore in a rubber dinghy. They'd walk along the buildings on the harbour and a row of houses near where we were, and they couldn't find any troops or life at all. And they just got back in their boats.
So you saw them?
We saw them.
But they didn't see you?
They didn't see us. There were 2,000 of us, hardly afraid to breathe or cough. And this happened two or three times. So they obviously went back to Rhodes or wherever they came from and said there's nothing there. A day or two later...
Now, can I ask before we go on, were you being properly fed and the rest of, were you getting your rations? Could you just talk a bit about what food you had while you were there?
I can't remember much about the food, except when they bombed the harbour, the bombs stunned fish, and we were living on stunned fish for a long time. I can't remember what other food we have, if we had any, but now, we certainly lived on...
Were these bombing raids before the big parachute?
Yeah, before, I mean...
What were the bombing raids like?
They were only small, just an odd bomb or two. But it was enough to stun the fish.
Now, tell me about the time you went into Heraklion. because we missed to tell us again.
Now, we went into the Heraklion, have our cup of tea. We were having our photo taken by a street photographer when we heard the noise of planes. And we looked up and we saw the parachutists coming down. The photographer wanted to pack up and scram, but we wouldn't let him, so he developed our picture. And I've still got the picture at home, not faded or not anything. But we actually stood there firing at the parachutists as the photograph was being developed.
Now, tell me about what it looked like and what you did as the parachutists came down.
Well, we just shot straight at them. The Germans were very keen on their hand grenades. They're like a tin of baked beans with a wooden handle, and they were slung all over their chest, perhaps 10 or 12. Well, you only had to get one shot on one of these, and the whole lot would go up. Having cleared the air for the moment, and there didn't seem to be any more, we decided to get back to our base on the cliffs.
Now, how many of you were firing at the German parachutes, and how many were there dropping, would you say?
Oh, there was only about six of us firing. There weren't many coming down there.
It was just a few in that area?
Just a few there.
And you'd say, to you thought you settled with all of them?
We settled with all of them. Then we decided to go back to the harbour to try and rejoin our unit. But we were in great danger because anything that moved was more or less shot at because they thought it was Germans. During the following 3 days, the parachutists came over every afternoon, literally in thousands.
Did you manage to rejoin your unit?
We did, without getting shot. We got back to our unit near the harbour, and actually we lived in a cave just there.
And what do you remember of this period? Do you remember in any detail what happened day by day?
All the parachutists were killed. We never saw a live one. And we even went to sleep that night with a few guards around in case. And the next day, a fighter plane, a German fighter, saw us, the two of us, in a slip trench, L-shaped, and they fired, trying to get us out of the trench. They turned round and came the other way, so we went round the other end of the slip trench, and eventually they gave up. Either they'd short of ammunition or short of fuel, and we managed to get out before the slip trench before it collapsed.
Anything else in that period?
No. During the following 2 days, the parachutists still came over pretty low, but they were unable to fire while they were coming down.
It sounds like that, as a method of attack, it was a failure in your area.
In the West End, it was a complete failure, because after 3 days, we never saw a live German at all.
None of them hit the ground. As far as you know, you didn't see any of them get on the ground.
They were all dead before they hit the ground. And there were 33 men in troop carriers. They also had all these hand grenades. But we only had to get one shot through the side of a troop carrier and hit one of the... And the whole lot went up and came down in flames.
So they didn't manage to establish any men on the ground?
Nothing at all. We never saw a live one. We had a bit of barbed wire with landmines, which stopped us from going to pick up any of their equipment, which might have been useful. But it's quite obvious there were no Germans alive, because there was nobody, no Germans, able to radio back to Rhodes or Greece saying what had happened. So everything the Germans dropped was virtually wasted, unused.
So what happened next?
Nothing happened for a day or two, and that we were told we were going to be evacuated that night we got to be at the harbour by midnight, and the destroyers would come in and pick us up. Well, we got down to the harbour and there were three destroyers there. They didn't tie up, they just sort of ambled along, and the sailors just grabbed us and yanked us onto the ships.
Onto a destroyer?
On the destroyer.
Do you know which one?
We're not sure. We think it could have been the Kelly. That was Mum.
The famous one?
The famous one. We're not sure about that. And
what happened then?
Well, that was about midnight. Of course, it was a long way to go to get out of range before the morning. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, the German Air Force arrived in their hundreds and the three destroyers were sunk.
Now, what do you remember of being part of that? What happened to you? What could you see?
I remember all the bombs coming down and the planes roaring down.
Whereabouts were you on the destroyer?
I was on the deck.
And back? Whereabouts?
I don't know. This was a little bit vague. I vaguely remember being picked up by a cruiser, the Orion. It was a very big cruiser with eight sets of pom-pom guns and seven larger guns. We're not sure how many. There could have been 2,000 picked up from the destroyers. Within an hour or so, the planes were... This was the only ship there was, and the German planes just bombed in their hundreds. We brought down loads of planes, but the cruiser was very badly damaged.
Then you were on deck firing your Bren gun, I believe. Can you tell us about that?
I went down below with all the other people, and I couldn't stand the noise of a steel ship with all these guns going off. So I went up onto the deck with a Bren gun, and I was firing, and this was more or less saved me, because everybody down below was killed by the bombs. The ship was turning over slightly. I can't remember much what happened over there.
How badly damaged was the Orion?
Oh, it was terribly damaged. Terrible number of direct hits. There were no big guns left. And the ship was all bashed up. Having had a sleepless nights in Crete, and the sleepless on the destroyer, they were absolutely exhausted.
I mean, people don't understand how bad that sort of level of fatigue was. How bad was it? What effects did it have on you, that lack of sleep?
Well, you get drowsy. I remember being bombed on the cruiser by many bombs, and the number that missed, the ship was either blown out of the water or blown under the water. And the next thing I remember, about midnight, arriving at Alexandria.
And what happened? What was your...
Well, I thought I was still on the Orion, I'll never be sure. We went ashore, and on the dockside, there were about 20, 30 tables, each with a sheet of paper and a pen, for everybody who came off the ship, was to put their name, regiment and number. Well, I was the last out, and was only 18. And somebody on the dock said, when are the rest coming? I said, I don't think there is any rest. I think they're all gone. A terrible moment.
What happened then?
Then we went to a barracks or something in Alexandria, about one in the morning. Even had a job to get a cup of tea or a glass of water, having not had anything for I don't know how long. And then I went back from Alexandria to the base camp in artillery base camp in Cairo.
Now, when did you have this row where you refused to obey an order?
That was in Alexandria.
Tell us about that.
Well, I say it was only 18 came off. I think there were three officers from the 7th Medium, and I don't think there were any gunners, or only about four, me and four or five others. So they'd lost all their batmen, and they wanted somebody to do their batting. Well, I thought I hadn't joined the army to be a batman to officers. And after Crete and Crease, you're in a bit of a mental state. And I just said, what the hell with you, I'm not doing it. And he said, well, you're under arrest for refusing to obey an order. And I said, well, after the way we were treated in Greece, really, digging the trenches and everything, I'd enjoy the chance to bring up to everybody's notice the way we were treated in Greece. And the Sergeant Major came back a little bit later and said, I'll disappear. And on Crete, I was bitten by about 100,000 bugs, but in a bit of a state. And they sent me off to hospital.
What sort of bugs? Mosquitoes?
I don't know if they were lice or mosquitoes, but you could see them flying round trying to find the spot that hadn't been bitten from top to bottom. So I finished up in Cairo in the hospital for treatment for all these bites.
Now, you wrote a report on what had happened to you in Greece and Crete. Can you tell me, which is what attracted
well,
that
we
to
were
tell
all,
me what the background to this was.
Anybody who'd been to Crete, would they write some sort of essay or report on what happened in Greece and Crete? Because for so few people came back, they were pretty unaware. And I started all saying, well, in the first place, Churchill should have never sent all the guns and tanks to Greece when we were desperate and retreating
now
in the desert.
Now, how did you know that sort of thing? Do you see what I mean? At the time?
Well, we were retreating in Crete, in the desert by that time. And
so you thought that then?
Yes.
What else did you put?
When we got to Greece, there was no ammunition for the guns, and there were reports that the Germans are dressed up in British uniforms and sent the ammunition up the wrong mountains. We don't know if this was true or not. Anyway, there was no ammunition.
What else did you put in your report?
There were no anti-aircraft guns, and I put all about these digging the trenches for the officers, and all about the bombing and the coming over the mountains and lorries falling over the side. And a general chaos. Nobody knew what they were doing, where they were going. Or
so more about Greece. What did you put about Crete?
What
was most of your criticism about Greece?
Most of it was about Greece. But on Crete, there was no other weapons. There were no weapons. There wasn't even another gun, a lorry, a radio, a phone. And although the west end of the island had been attacked at 6 o'clock in the morning, we were still going on leave in Heraklion at 2 p.m, not knowing 100 miles away the island had been invaded. And put about, you know, shooting all the parachutists. The parachutists all came down for 3 days, and as far as we know, we never saw one alive. And we got off on the destroyers.
How long was this report that you, roughly?
I can't remember, there were several sheets of paper.
And what happened then? Because that's another intriguing bit about, you gave this to who?
I gave it to whoever asked for it, I can't remember who asked for it. And a short time later, I was told that, thank you very much for doing it, but we're giving you a cash payment, and it's copyright reserved, you will never repeat what you put in this, because if it ever got to people at home, what was happening in the Middle East, the families would all be up in air.
And do you remember how much you were given?
No, it was I know it was three figures, but it was quite a lot for those days.
Hundreds?
Mm.
Hundreds of pounds?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was.
And I mean, obviously it doesn't matter now, but you maintain that you didn't tell anyone?
I didn't tell anyone.
So then you were hospitalised with these insect bites, and yeah. Then you came out to the artillery depot. You may have written the report there, you're not quite sure.
No, I'm not sure quite where.
So that's when you rejoined the 64th?
64.
Now, which battery did you go to this time? Was it the same battery?
Probably 211.
11 battery?
Yeah, 211.
And where were they when you joined them?
Well, I think it was Palestine. We went to the Lebanon and to Syria, and we fought the, believed to be the Vichy French.
Now, what do you remember of the operations in Syria?
It was very minute, there was hardly any fighting, but it was soon all over. There were no losses or anything else. And then something happened in Iraq, or I think it was later.
You seem to have had a back to Cairo with an accident.
Yeah, we went back to Cairo. We were given leave, and I was given leave, 4 days leave in Cairo. I just left the station going to the hotel. I don't really know what happened, but I understand that some Egyptians dropped a big hoarding, either intentionally or accidentally, from a building, and I got it on the head. I don't remember anything about it except waking up in hospital with a terrible headache and bump on my head. But I had met a friend in Cairo station who was going to have leave with me, and he saw it all, and he said it was either pushed intentionally or dropped accidentally, and he took me to hospital, and I was there some time with terrible head pains. And I eventually finished up back at the base camp, and the British ambassador gave us passes to go to the Valley of the Kings for Christmas.
That's, what do you remember of that?
Well, it's 400 miles on an unair-conditioned train. That was terrible. I enjoyed the few days in the Valley of the Kings in a hotel with proper food, and we went and saw all the tombs and the the Colossus of Memnon and Luxor and Karnak, and then we went back to Cairo. What came next after that? I went back to the 64th, and for some unknown reason, we went from Cairo to Iraq. We don't know why, but it's a terrible long journey over cart tracks, right through the desert, through Egypt, through Palestine, through Syria, and we never saw any towns or anything. Suddenly we turned round and went back to Libya for no reason. And we found out that everybody was going the other way from what we were going. And it was the Great Retreat in early 1942. And we went on to the border between Libya and Egypt, where there was an ammunition dump. And we were left with 4 guns and 50 men and told to stop there until we'd finished up all the ammunition in the dump. firing up the coast road, which was a zigzag road from Libya down to Egypt to stop the Germans. And we fired, I think, for probably 5-6 days, nearly non-stop. The guns were practically red hot, and you didn't have to do much to fire them. By the time you got the shell in and shut the breach, they more or less fired themselves.
Now, were you weren't on the guns, though. You were acting as specialist, were you?
Yes.
And anything about that time? Anything? Were you under attack yourselves, or were you just firing at the coast road?
No, we weren't fired, we weren't bombed. Nobody seemed to know we were there. We finished up all our ammunition on the dump, and we fled like the Dickens back to the unit in Egypt.
Is that when you went back to Mersa Matruh?
Yeah, well, then we went to Mersa Matruh, which is about 60-100 miles from Cairo, which was one of our last great bases, stores and petrol and food. Well, after all these years of shortage of food and water, we were told we got surrounded by the Germans. And this was the first time in the war that we'd ever seen Germans firing at us with artillery. And we were told at night time we'd have to get out the best we could and escape. So having seen all this dump, we thought, well, the Germans are going to have this. So we filled up all the lorries with water, food, petrol, spare parts which might be needed, and we didn't know what was going to happen in the future. But unfortunately, when the night came, they cleared all the mines. We had to go out westwards and not eastwards, and went through the German tanks. Well, there was such chaos going on, the Germans didn't know what was going on or who we were. And we went between the tanks, and as we went, the Germans were looking out the turrets, wondering who they are, we were, and what was happening. So we just lobbed hand grenades into the turret, or that would finish those tanks off. And the rest of the night, we just travelled like hell westwards. And the desert's a big place. And we didn't see anything until the morning. We reckoned we could have done 200 miles. I mean, having been in the desert all those years, we're quite familiar what the situation is. You can lose yourself and get lost, or it was said that you shouldn't go more than 35 miles from the coast because there's so all the sand dunes. But when the morning came and we looked around to see who was there, and we found there were 20 lorries, 5 big guns and 100 men of various nationalities. And we had a little conference, what the hell are we going to do now? We're on the wrong side. Well, I was a surveyor and I said, I know what I'm going to do. Let's go south, 50 miles into the desert, turn left and get to the Suez Canal or the Nile and find out where the front line is, because we didn't want to get right into the German prison camps. So we went, it was terribly, terrible going on the sand. Every lorry has a 15-foot steel plate with hundreds of holes in to make it light. And you put these down and you make a road. So we ran the first lorries along and then pick up the metal and put it forward and use winches to winch the guns and other lorries along.
Wasn't that slow going?
It was very slow going, sometimes 5 miles a day. Sometimes
you just do that when there was a really sort of difficult bit?
Yeah, when it was such soft sand you had to. And then other times you could do 5 or 10 miles on rock. But we did, it just went on for some weeks. I don't know how long it was. On the lorry, we did 300 miles. There was quite a considerable distance.
Were you attacked at all?
No, we didn't see a soul. And we knew that the Germans were short of fuel. By going 50 miles south, we wouldn't see a German plane. they'd go over the sea to do their bombing. So we never saw a plane, we never saw a living thing. We just went on and on. And suddenly one day we saw an armoured car. And